Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. Before I start talking about football, as I normally do, I'm going to show love to our title sponsor, Hess Spinal Centers. When you have a car accident, you're having a tough time looking for treatment, you got to go to people who have the best treatment and the best knowledge and the best doctors. And that's Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. They have 16 Central Florida pain clinic locations for you. They have physical therapy, and they just do it the best. So when you're going through this stressful time, 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. 1-800-618-HESS. Training camp is right around the corner. And as a former player, this is about right about the time where you start getting that funny feeling in your stomach that training camp is coming. I've said before that anybody says they don't completely detest training camp is trying to lie to themselves, because training camp is a terrible situation. These kids that are playing today, I can call them kids because I'm old enough to do that, they'll never know what we went through. And I don't want to make it kind of like an old school thing, but when we played, you know, the ones that came before us, we practiced as hard as they did, because there was no work, there was no practicing harder than we did. I mean, it was impossible. We practiced three times a day, every day, and hit twice a day. You can't hit more than that. It's impossible. And these guys, if you want to see the difference, you know, we would come into camp on a Monday. We would hit twice a Monday, twice Tuesday, twice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, scrimmage Saturday, maybe get Sunday off, maybe. These guys will come in on Friday, you know, put their helmets on. They'll frolic around Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They'll maybe do one practice with hitting on Monday, take Tuesday off. That's not what we did. I'm telling you, ours was a lot more violent, and I think personally we were a lot more ready than these guys were going into training camp. You know, when you look at that first day of pads, you start getting that that funny feeling in your stomach, but they got it out of the way real quick when we were playing. They let these guys get acclimated a little bit more, which to me makes a lot more sense. I still think they need to hit more. But during training camp, it's hard to stay routine with your eating habits, first of all. Your sleeping habits get all jacked up because you're completely exhausted. And midday, when you roll up into your really, really crappy dorm room and your crappy dorm room bed, you still want to take that two-hour nap. So when nighttime comes, sometimes you're exhausted, but you still can't get to sleep. And your eating habits, man, you're burning so many calories that you just pretty much eat what the hell you want to eat. And sometimes at the end of training camp, you catch yourself and your weight's starting to go up, and that becomes a problem. And then I knew a bunch of players who like to indulge in some alcohol. At that time, I would drink every once in a while. Every once in a while, you kind of creep off for a couple drinks. But, you know, there was people used to go almost every night to Park Lane Lounge on Kennedy and have a few cocktails and throw some darts. Sam Weich came one year and actually pulled over all the veterans, and he gave a list of veterans that he thought were responsible enough to stay away from camp. And my name happened to be on the list, and he said I didn't have to check into the dorms. So one year I didn't check into the dorms, and that was the best training camp ever, because the dorms just bring you down. It brings you're in a bad place. If you can sleep in your own bed, life is real good. And with Sam Weich, we didn't have those crazy Ray Perkins three-a-days. We practiced once a day. We practiced at night. And, like, during the day was time for us. That was a hard time with the weight. It was hard to keep the weight down at that time. But every coach is different. But now it's to a point where every coach is exactly the same, because you can only hit a certain amount. And every coach hits the minimum amount. And really, every coach hits the maximum amount, because there's no wiggle room anymore. They're telling you this is how much you have to hit, and that's it. So training camp's right around the corner, and it's a lot more fun for quarterbacks and those kind of guys that get a chance to sit around and not smash their heads into people all day long. But there's going to be a lot of battles going on in training camp. That's the time for battles. Looking around the league, and we'll get some Buccaneer talk in a little bit. Looking around the league, Baker Mayfield being the number one pick in the draft, there's going to be obvious pressure on this young kid to perform. But from what I hear, Tyrod Taylor is outplaying him. Now, that becomes a tough, sticky situation because, you know, the Browns that have won one game in the last 2 years, that they've won one game in the last 2 years. And before us Buccaneer fans start throwing any stones, the second in line for the biggest drought playoff-wise is us. 10 years, it's been 10 years since we've been in the playoffs. Only the Browns have a longer drought. So let's not throw any stones. But with the Browns, when they have Baker Mayfield out there, young kid, still has a lot to learn. They got Tyrod Taylor, who's played some good football in his time and has put some good film out there. And when you're in practice and you're watching Tyrod Taylor, who's not the future, probably, you know, at the helm but under center, looking better than Baker Mayfield, which he will, just because he's been through it and Baker hasn't, it's going to be hard to put Baker Mayfield out there because the coaches want to win. The coaches know that Baker Mayfield is a future, but they also don't want to put a kid out there that's not ready to play. So if Tyrod Taylor is clearly better than him during the preseason, you're probably going to see Tyrod Taylor start the season. And the thing is, losing sucks. And when you're seeing somebody in practice playing better, and it's evident that the kid is better, or Tyrod Taylor is better, they're going to go with him until they can't anymore. Okay, now we have a funny situation here in the Bay Area. It's not any kind of battle. Okay, we know it's not a battle between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. It's never been a battle, but with the situation that Jameis Winston created, it's going to make it a lot funkier for Jameis. Listen, Jameis, I hope he puts on his thick skin this year, because in the past I would say Jameis had the heart of 80% of Buck fans. You still hear every once in a while somebody speak against Jameis. There's still Jameis haters out there, but there's a lot more now. I mean, there's going to be a lot more eyeballs on Jameis Winston, and he's not going to have a lot of room for error. He's not. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is not the future of this team, you know, if he messes around and goes out, it doesn't really matter what Ryan Fitzpatrick does in the first three games. Jameis Winston's going to be the starting quarterback in the fourth game. Period. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But the way Ryan Fitzpatrick plays in the first three games is going to be a factor. Because if Ryan Fitzpatrick just poops himself in the first three games, then people are going to go, thank God Jameis is back, we're better. If Ryan wins two out of the three games, and then Jameis comes back and all of a sudden he doesn't play well, then I'm telling you, the bullets are going to start flying. And by the way, the first three games that Jameis is missing, and I read this off a site, and I don't know where they got this, and I don't really know how they would measure this, but this is how I read. I wrote it exactly how it said on the site. The first three games the Bucs play are the most difficult projected three-game opening stretch in NFL history. Now, think about it now. You're playing against the Saints, who won a division. You're playing against the Steelers, who are badass always, and you're playing against the Super Bowl champions. Eesh. I mean, at full strength, you'd be lucky to go 1-2. And I'm actually hearing Buck fans thinking that they actually have a better chance winning with Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you're a Buck fan, you better hope that's not the situation. You better hope that the Bucks aren't better off with Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he's our backup quarterback. And there's 31 other teams, and a bunch of them need quarterbacks. So that's just not how it works. So it's none of this is going to be easy. And there's going to be competition going on all the way through training camp. And there's not going to be the Bucks are the type of team, we're going to know at the beginning of training camp really who our starters are going to be. It's really going to be all about the depth. I don't think that's a problem. Now, running back is the one position in the NFL that I've really tried to stay away from in the last little while. And there's actually been an emergence of some really good young running backs, and they haven't swayed me to use a high pick on one yet. But when you look at like Kareem Hunt from last year, I was watching NFL Network and they were had a little special on him and the way he came up, and they were showing him Pop Warner, and he was kicking ass all the way through his career. And if you remember last year, Kareem Hunt came out. They mic'd him up, and he got his first carry and fumbled. Fumbled on his first carry in the NFL. Listen to this statistic. Kareem Hunt never fumbled in high school and never fumbled in college. And he hasn't fumbled since. So his first carry in the NFL, he fumbled. And that's the only time in his whole career he ever fumbled. Now, Kareem Hunt had a great season last year. Alvin Kamara had a great season last year. He was a star. Todd Gurley is emerging to a star running back. Leonard Fournette, who I don't know is going to last long. I just don't know of his style. But I think he led all rookies in touchdowns last year. The name this year is going to be Saquon Barkley, whether he's the man or not. Now, the Buccaneers have Jacquizz Rodgers, if you remember from last year. And I've always said the running backs are overrated, okay? There's only a few great ones. Jacquizz Rodgers is just a middle-of-the-road running back. If we block well, he's serviceable. He's plenty. The second-round pick for the Bucs out of USC, Ronald Jones, we'll see how he fits in. Not the biggest kid in the world. Supposedly got some wheels on him. We'll see how the Bucs use him. Now, Charles Sims is kind of an odd piece to the puzzle. I'm saying that the Bucs never really figured out how to use him, but I think they did last year. You didn't see Charles Sims get the ball too much out of the backfield because that's not really his strength. He doesn't see holes all that well. But if you figure out a way to get Charles Sims the ball out in the open, he makes things happen. You know, he's great on screens. He's great getting out in the pass route. But as far as just a straight-up running back from the backfield, I don't like his vision. Now, for all you guys that would ever want to give me any questions or ask me any questions, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. We have Pizza Lover send me out a couple questions and really a couple comments. Pizza Lover disliked the way Joe Bucks fan kind of quoted me, and I read it. It didn't hurt my feelings. I mean, they did pull up a picture of me with two guns that was from my social media years ago. So I guess they were kind of going for the shock and awe thing. I'm not a gun person. I don't own a gun. I'm really scared of guns. I guess they're trying to put me in a certain light. Hey, that's fine. As long as I spell my name right, it's all good. And it's not like, you know, they were really disagreeing with what I said. But some of the quotes were kind of maybe unfinished. But once again, go ahead and use my name. That's fine. Pizza Lover also asked me a question about if I can talk to five players of the Buccaneers, what would I say? Who would it be? And I did it real quick. I said before to Jameis, just play. Start, you know, ease up on the talk. Because when you think about Jameis Winston and how he's going into the season, if you don't think it's going to be tough to be rah-rah leader guy when you're not starting the first three games, it is going to be tough. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the leader for the first three games of the season. So that means Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have to be in that huddle in training camp. And those are reps that Jameis Winston doesn't take. And that hurts the Buccaneers. Any reps that Jameis Winston doesn't see and doesn't take and doesn't make a mistake hurts the Buccaneers. Ryan Fitzpatrick's is not the future. So just Jameis, just go out and play. Do interviews when you need to. Be as simple as you can. Simple. No more speeches. No more speeches. Just play. Quan Alexander, who I've said many times, is my favorite Buccaneer. If I was to get a jersey, I would get a Quan jersey. I would say don't slow down because everybody around you is watching, and when you're playing at that speed, everybody will catch up eventually. Like when the Buccaneers were great way back when, Hardy Nickerson changed the speed of the defense. And then Derek Brooks came along, and Warren Sapp came along, and John Lynch, and then Alrondé Barber. And now all of a sudden you have everybody in the defense playing at the same speed. We don't play fast defensively. Quan Alexander plays fast. So you don't change. Donovan Smith, our left tackle. This is probably his fifth year, I would say. Fifth, sixth, somewhere in there. Getting to a point where he should be peaking. Start listening to your coaches. Because, you know, the kid's not a bad athlete. He's kind of a big bear. But sometimes he just does elementary stuff. In your fifth year, you shouldn't be taking cockeyed steps and putting yourself in bad situations. So, you know, listen a little bit more. Listen to your coaches. DeSean Jackson, I would say be patient, bro, because you can feel and sense the frustration he had last year, because I don't know if he didn't leave a half dozen to 10 touchdowns on the field last year. I mean, go back and watch. DeSean Jackson left at least a touchdown every other game on the field, and you could definitely sense his frustration. So stay patient. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we'll see if him and DeSean hook up maybe more than DeSean and Jameis. That's a possibility early in the season. But stay patient if it doesn't go well, because if it's not going well this year, it's going to crumble. And we're going to need some of the veteran players to step up and be leaders. And, of course, I got to bring up Gerald McCoy, because that's probably who you wanted me to talk to anyways. I would say a combination of all of them. Just play. Don't need to talk so much. Listen sometimes to your criticism. That's good. That means you're maturing. Listen to Brenson Buckner, your new coach. He's just trying to make you better. And don't be so sensitive. Don't be so, you know, and this is coming from a person who is sensitive. I wasn't nearly the caliber of player that Gerald McCoy was, and Pro Bowler. Nobody wrote about me like that. But if somebody wrote something about me, I was a sensitive person. But you don't want that to affect your play. You don't want that to throw you off what you're trying to get accomplished. And I would really say that to Jameis as well, because, you know, you read all these stories of how Jameis has support in his locker room. As somebody who's been in a lot of locker rooms, you don't tell the press nothing. I mean, there's locker rooms. I was watching a thing with NFL Network the other day, and they were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens and their relationship. The long and short of it was half the locker room was on T.O.'s side and half the locker room was on McNabb's side. They weren't the same people. It's easy to say to the press, oh, everything's fine, we have support. But it's getting to a point now where he has to prove who he is as a football player. When you hear people have beef in a locker room, oh, so-and-so was in a fight. Then they'll say, oh, well, yeah, we squashed it. Nobody squashes nothing. You talk bad about me, I don't like you. I may not say in the press, but it doesn't mean we're going to be all huggy and lovey-dovey. It doesn't work that way. So saying that the locker room has or supporting Jameis Winston is like coffee talk, really. It's just talk. And Jameis will have support when he goes out there and they put the film on Monday. And he looks good on film, and that's it. It's not going to take any more than that. And that's what Jameis Winston has to turn into, that guy that when you put film on, you know that Jameis is making the right decisions. And we know that Jameis hasn't been that player yet this year in his career. He's been the guy who's been exciting. He's been the guy in the forefront. He's been the guy on the side of the building. You know, he's the guy who's on the ticket. As has Gerald McCoy. I can put Gerald's name right in there. But guys, now you're right, you're the face on a loser right now. And once again, 10 years since the Bucs have been to the playoffs, you're putting your name on a losing product. That's got to make you sick. It's got to make you sick and tired of doing this. Gerald McCoy, just play. Jameis Winston, just play. I'm starting to see some commercials about Thursday Night Football. It's getting me excited. Training camp's right around the corner. Bless these guys that are going to have to go out there in that madness. You know, there's people dying from heat in Montreal, Canada. And we're in Tampa, Florida. We're just a little bit further south. And it's a little bit hotter here. You know, the only problem with that is we're playing football and you can't baby football players. Because football players, whether you think it's dangerous for them to go out there and play in that heat, In a few days, they have to play in it. And being acclimated to something is always a lot better. So I'm going to see. I'm going to keep an eye on them in training camp. I know they brought in my guy, Polar Pod, who I had at my last event. And is he able to go in there and keep it cool? But there's nothing you do about this heat, man. It's hot. And I got some news for you. I went to training camp in for the Eagles. I went to training camp with Denver, with the Jets. It's hot everywhere. In July and in August, it's hot every damn where. not quite consistent like it is here. And, you know, Tampa is the hottest place, but it's hot everywhere in the country. And there's nowhere you're going to be able to get away from that heat. So the Bucks have that new practice facility. Whether they use it or not, I want to see if Dirk Cutter puts them in there because of heat. I sure hope not. I hope not, because the one thing this Buccaneer has to do, and this Buccaneer team has to do, and I know all you Buccaneer fans will agree with me, is they got to get tougher up and down. They just have to be a tougher bunch of guys. And going in a practice facility is not exactly conducive to toughness. So let me give love again to Hess Spinal Centers, 1-800-618-HESS. For all those of you that like to listen to podcasts, I have two others. I have Flavoring Year that comes out on Friday. And I also have the cannabis podcast. For those of you that are curious about cannabis and the use of it and the regulations and cooking with it and all the whole nine yards, we're going to be talking to some very interesting people as we go forward with the cannabis podcast as well. This is In the Trenches. The numbers have been absolutely fantastic. I'm hoping they're going to just get better as we go throughout the season. While we continue through the season, I'm going to start talking maybe a little bit more about fantasy football as we get a little bit closer. I dabbled in it a little bit last year, and I know people are well into that. We have a couple sponsors that will be jumping on board as well that have to do with draft fantasy football. So definitely going to get more involved with that. And I was in one league last year, and I made it through it without pulling my hair out, which I don't even have. So this year, maybe I dabble in a couple leagues and talk to you guys a little bit about that as well. So once again, thank you to Hess Spinal Centers, and thank you for all you guys listening. If you want to get in touch with me and want to email me, ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Otherwise, let's hope the Bucks stay healthy between now and training camp. Maybe make a move or two. You never know, but football's right around the corner, so you got to be getting excited. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer, Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I want to welcome our guest to City Ringside podcast, host to the stars, Conrad Thompson.
What's really weird is somebody listing Ric Flair robe on eBay, I don't know that any of this would have ever happened, because without, you know, me getting the robe, I don't know that I would have paid more attention to wrestling and seen the Kickstarter or bought the belt or been introduced to Cornette. I mean, you just follow that all the way down the rabbit hole, and it spidered out all through my life, because I actually met my fiance through Ric Flair. It's his oldest daughter, Megan. And he said, oh, you should meet Conrad. And she had seen me several times, and we had talked several times, but never in a situation where it was like that. It was always just, I'm her dad's friend. And ta-da, it worked out. She's part of the family now. And I've got podcasts with other people not named Ric Flair and a show on the network, all because of, it's a weird story, man, to say the least.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.